بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي آمين يا رب العالمين. I'm not sure if I shared Surah An-Nazi'at some things with you or no. I don't think I did. No. I gave a secret khutbah about it 2 weeks ago. Secret khutbah, because, yeah, well, you know. But anyway, so I wanted to share with you actually some things about Nazm in the Quran. Nazm is the subject of how the subject matter of the Quran is organized, and how it seems at first glance that the discussion is completely disconnected. Like all these parts, they have nothing to do with each other. But at a more careful look, you realize that everything's actually going together for one cohesive argument. So Surah An-Nazi'at is like that. It begins with a series of oaths. Allah swears by the things that pull and dive in. Nazi'at, the things that pull, gharqan, as they dive in. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا, and they're extremely busy in activity. وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحًا, and he swears by things that swim and sail smoothly. فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقًا, then they beat each other in the race, they're getting ahead of one another, you know. فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا, they're executing the command, whatever command they've been given, they're planning and executing it. That's the oath, and we don't know what these things that pull are. Allah doesn't say what they are. He just says they pull and they dive in, right? So you have opinions of the Sahaba of what that might mean. So we'll come back to that. As soon as that's done, there are actually a number of ayat that are about the Day of Judgment, the day on which the major disturbance shakes you. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةَ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَةَ. You know, then another wave of disturbance comes after that. قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ, the hearts are, you know, they're trembling and they're terrified. أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَةٌ, their eyes, the eyes of those hearts are full of awe. يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ, then you get to the next scene where they're questioning, are we really going to get taken back to the ditch? In other words, we're going to be taken out of our graves again. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. إِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرَةٌ, when our bones are reduced. How can this return ever happen? تِلْكَ إِذَنْ كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرَةٌ فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. It's just going to be, Allah then responds, it's going to be one loud explosion, one scolding, and all of a sudden you'll be there in the middle of the dark. بِالسَّاهِرَةٌ. Sahir means to spend all night standing somewhere, or stand somewhere not being able to sleep in the middle of the entire night. Now, again, the first subject was some oaths where things are pulling and doing all kinds of activity. Then there was Day of Judgment. Then there's people who question the Day of Judgment. Then all of a sudden there's Halataka Hadithu Musa, did the news of Musa come to you? So, and then more and more and more, like there's other subjects that keep coming, right? So it seems over the course of a page and a half, there's like six different things happening. And they seem completely disconnected. But actually, all of this is one very beautifully woven argument. It's actually tapestry in the Quran. The first ayat are actually two scenes at the same time. You'll find in Arabic when you have an-nazi'at, al-'adiyat, you know, al-'asifat, etc. This is actually a reference to a different, it compares winds, it compares horses, and most of the time these are scenes of people that are going to attack a village. You know, the Arabs had camps and villages, and you have these raiders that go in the middle of the night. And right before the morning, they come and attack this place when everything is calm. And when the riders are coming, they pull on the horse. Those that pull. And when they pull, as they pull, they dive deep into the camp. You know, وَنَازِعَةِ غَرْقَى. And they're busy, because they have to loot this tent, this one, that one. وَنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. And they make their attack super quick, and they're smooth in and smooth out. وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَا. And as they make their escape, they're not going slow, they're actually racing each other to get away, because they have to get away from the enemy they just attacked. فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَا. And then when they're done, they finally execute the command. In other words, they've collected all the spoils, and now they're distributing among each other. That's one way of looking at this entire first scene. Yet another way is like the Salaf would describe it, is like the angels that pluck the ruh from the body. You may have heard that before. The angels dive in and they pluck the ruh from the body, right? They pull the soul out of the body. But actually it's both of those scenes at the same time. Let me show you how. Allah Azza wa Jal is going to describe the Akhirah and how it's going to come all of a sudden. you will have no warning. And the Arab says, wow, what do you mean no warning? And Allah says, let me give you a scene that you can't imagine. And the scene is when they get attacked in the middle of the night. Just like the angels will come and start pulling away, and they'll know exactly what to do. And they'll swim through and sail through the skies just like the raiders come and they sail away. And they're going to execute the command just like, you know, these raiders come and execute. And it happens out of nowhere. You don't expect the raiders to come. It's a peaceful, quiet night. And so immediately he switches over. Just like that, all of a sudden the disturbance will come. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةَ the day on which the disturbance comes. And then another wave comes after that. Just like the attackers, they come in waves. You think the first wave is gone, the next wave shows up. تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَةَ. And when, imagine that scene where the village is being attacked, the raiders are being attacking in the middle of the night. What's happening to people who are like looking around? قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَةٌ. Their hearts are trembling. Their eyes are full of awe. And then the raid is all done. The raid is all done. When it's done, anything of value has been taken away. And what's left on the ground is basically footprints of these horses. Right? You know what the Arabic word is for footprints of the horse? Hafira. يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُدُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ. What on the one hand means, are we really going to be taken back to our graves or pulled out of our graves and things like that? But the other meaning is, once the village is destroyed, all that's left is these footprints. Why would anybody want to go back? And if they did go back, they would see nothing of benefit. تِلْكَ إِذَنْ كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرَةٌ. It would be a return that is full of loss. In other words, them questioning Judgment Day, Allah is comparing them with the way they would think about how they would come back after a village has been destroyed. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. Then it's going to be a loud cry. The loud cry could be the sur on Judgment Day. You know, نُفِخَ فِي السُّور. But in this dunya, the guy comes back to his village. Everything is burnt. There's shoe prints, the horseshoes print everywhere. What does he do? He cries. And he falls on his knees. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةٌ. And they're spending the entire night crying, because there's nothing left. Allah compares the scene of dunya with the scene of what? Akhirah. So you're seeing two scenes at the same time. Now, when you realize this, all of this could have been avoided. If somebody just told the villagers that raiders are coming, an attack is coming, they could have been prepared, isn't it? هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Didn't the news of Musa come to you? When Allah brought him to himself so he can send him to Fir'aun to warn him, اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Go warn Fir'aun, because Fir'aun should be warned that the attack is what? It's coming, take warning. And when you give someone huge news like attack is coming, you should give them some proof. أَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى. You showed him the biggest signs, he still turned away and lied. You know? So Allah is now describing that the purpose of messengers is not to destroy nations, but to save them. Destruction's already coming. Now the point I made in Surah An-Nur, فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. Then he makes his own, he turns away and he starts making other efforts. In other words, you make efforts against the one who warned you instead of making efforts against the attack. فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. And he got full of his pride and he started gathering. This is really amazing. This entire scene, this entire warning is a warning about Judgment Day, isn't it? And Judgment Day is when Allah will gather people. But Fir'aun decides he wants to have his own hashar. فَحَشَرَ. And Judgment Day, Allah will call. But he decides he's going to make his own call. And Judgment Day, Allah will describe he is, you know, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Who owns kingdom today? It is Allah. And Fir'aun gathers people. And instead of calling on Allah, he says, أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْعَلَىٰ. I am your supreme Rabb. SubhanAllah. The contrast between what's going to happen on Judgment Day with the actual Rabb and what this idiot is doing thinking he is Rabb. He's making his own hashar, his own nida, and his own declaration of Ana Rabbukum ul-A'la. And what, you know, by the way, up until now, isn't it akhirah and dunya, right? Isn't that what's happening? So look at the language. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. So Allah made him an example of the akhirah and the earliest ones. SubhanAllah. How things tie together in Quran. He made him into an example for the final and the earliest. Just like dunya and akhirah are parallel, now dunya and akhirah are mentioned literally. But from here on, which you read the center of the surah, which is him saying that I am your supreme master. What Allah does from here he basically then decides to prove who is Rabbukum al-A'la. So he says, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقَنَا مِنْ السَّمَاءِ. Are you a more powerful creation or the sky? بَنَاهَا. He built it. Building is important because Fir'aun did a lot of building. The most impressive architecture in the world in his time was his. The highest architecture was his. He says, رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا. He elevated its roof, its ceiling. Because Fir'aun could never build something that could be as high a ceiling as Allah. So when he says Al-A'la, what does he know? What does he know of As-Sama'? رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّهَا. Then he says, وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ ضُحَاهَا. He made the night of it dark and its morning bright. By the way, when the first scene happened, when did it happen? At night, and by morning it was all too late. It was all too late. He's the one who brings the night, he pulls the morning out. Everything ties back. Then, وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ضُحَاهَا. He made the earth smooth and spread out. When you say smooth and spread out, it kind of suggests that the earth is vast. But when a nation, when the village is attacked, then you describe, the Quran will describe, ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. The earth that used to be vast became tight on them. They had nowhere to run. Allah is saying here that Allah intends the earth to be vast. But when people don't take His warning, what happens? It becomes tight. That's the purpose of the earth, to be vast, to be accessible. And then on top of that, and by the way, Fir'aun believes he has massive land. And he has huge rivers. وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. He says in Quran, these rivers flow under my feet, from under me, مِنْ تَحْتِي. And Allah says then, after He says, وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَهَا أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. He's the one who brought out its waters. You think you own the rivers? He's the one who brought out its waters and its pasture. The pasture is the greenery of the earth. By the way, so Allah is saying the earth is made comfortable and vast and smooth. And then He's saying the water is a means of comfort and life. He brings the water out so you can have greenery and life. But in the case of Fir'aun, the earth became tight and the water was not a source of life. The water became a source of death. In other words, the things that Allah created as ni'mah in this world, if you don't approach them properly, are the same things that will be your death. Those same things. The same ni'mah will be your poison. وَأَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. I love this ayah. وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا. And the mountains, He planted them down. Irsa is actually used when you plant a peg for a tent. You know the big giant nail for a tent? That's irsa, when you nail it in. He says He planted the mountains down. Now some people get obsessed with the science of these ayat and how mountains were formed. Look, that's not the subject of the ayah. You know what the subject of the ayah is? If you look at the architecture of the pharaohs, they tried to mimic the mountains. They tried to make it look like mountains because mountains are a symbol of power. Okay? But when they built these mountains, their own artificial mountains, these pyramids, they had to go from the bottom up. So to get higher, you start at the bottom and you keep building up. Allah's architecture, mountains which are much taller than any of these pyramids, He doesn't have to build bottom up, He drops them down. Who is Al-A'la? You see? Well, Jibala Arsaha. It's so incredible, like the language is so powerful. How Allah is responding to the arrogance of this person. Then He says, مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِيَنْعَامِكُمْ. This is good for you, means of sustenance for you, things for you to enjoy, and your cattle. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. Then finally, when the greatest calamity strikes. By the way, Al-Kubra, second time. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. فَإِذَا جَاءَتُ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. Why? Because he was shown the greatest signs, so he could warn himself, take warning of the greatest calamity. So when you get to the ayah of the greatest calamity, it reminds you that you should have been ready for it because you were shown the greatest signs. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. The day on which the human being will remember full well all the efforts he used to make. By the way, سَعَى the second time. We've seen, ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. Fir'aun makes efforts. He makes running around. So now Allah is reminding us that people who had a lot of power and ran around with freedom, then now they'll remember the wrong things they ran after. And the parallel is made with Fir'aun. وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. It's so awesome. Jahim is brought forward for whoever wants to see. By the way, do we want to see Jahim? No. The thing to see is what Allah's messengers show you. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. They came to show you so you could see. They could make you see the biggest signs. That's what you want to see. So you don't have to see Jahim. Because if you don't see these ayat, then you'll have to see Jahim. You're going to see one way or the other. You know, وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. Then, you know, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The one who preferred worldly life, then Jahim is his place to find refuge. It's amazing, the word refuge here. First of all, he says, the one who preferred this life. You know, preferred this life. By the way, we're supposed to prefer both lives. We're not supposed to prefer akhirah over dunya. We're supposed to actually get the best of dunya and the best of رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. You're supposed to balance both. Just like the images, everything is dual, 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 dual. You know? And so now, by the time you get to this ayah, I'll tell you why ma'wa is so awesome. The Jahim will be the place where he finds refuge. In the beginning, there was a raid. And when there's a raid, where do you want to go? Refuge. Refuge. These people will have no refuge. The refuge after Judgment Day for them is far worse than Judgment Day itself. It's a Jahim. Then وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The one who was afraid of standing in front of his Rabb. Now you would imagine why Allah uses this kind of language here. You could just say خَافَ Allah. The one who feared Allah. He says, the one who was afraid of standing in front of his Rabb. Is the word Rabb being used for the first time? No. Fir'aun said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Yeah? Now if you think about Fir'aun, you realize something. Fir'aun says, لَعَلِّي أَطَّلِعُ إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِ مُوسَىٰ. Why don't you build me a tower? I'll go up, climb into the sky. I want to go talk to the God of Musa. He wants to stand face to face with Allah. And Allah says by the end of this, the one who was afraid of standing in front of his Rabb. مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He prevented himself from temptation. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Then Jannah is his final place to find refuge. By the way, interestingly enough, no other nation that I know of in Quran, Allah describes their nation as Jannat. Except Fir'aun. كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَنَعِيمٍ. Oh my God. وَنَعْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَاكِهِينَ. The kind of description you get in the Quran of Jannah, the only other group that I know of in Quran that Allah will describe their assets, like He's describing Jannah itself, is the Egyptians, is the Pharaohs. When they were drowned in the water, Allah said about them how many gardens they left behind, how many blessings, how many luxuries that they used to enjoy and smile over. Those words that are used to describe what they left behind, other than Fir'aun's assets, other than the Egyptian assets, the only time you find those words is for Jannah. It's amazing. Here he says, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. The true Jannah, not that worldly Jannah that Fir'aun had, the true Jannah is this person's refuge, the one who's able to prevent himself from desire. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. They ask you about the hour. Which hour? Judgment Day. But how do they ask you about it? أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. When is it going to be planted down? Wait, planting down, is that the first time? What was that? What else was planted down? Okay. Look, do people ask Fir'aun questions? When Fir'aun says, I will punish you, does anybody go, when are you going to punish us? You would have to be really stupid to go to Fir'aun, the owner of that palace, and go ask him what? When are you going to punish? Because if you say, when are you going to punish? He'll say, I'll show you. I was going to do it later, but for you, I'll give you special right now. You know? Isn't that the case? So you're afraid of the guy who owns this mini little pyramid, but you're not afraid of the one who dropped the mountains. And you ask, when is it coming? When is it being dropped? Just the word mursa should remind you that the one who dropped the mountains is powerful enough that you shouldn't be asking stupid questions. When is judgment day coming? Ayyana mursaha. And then you understand the next ayah. Fima anta min dhikraha. In what capacity are you going to be making any mention of it? Who are you to say anything about it? Ila rabbika muntahaha. To your master is the final place of it. The final dropping of it. Meaning, when it will it happen, when will it take place, and when will it end? That is up to Allah. Fir'aun in this context had that fahashara. He gathered people. He tried to do his own day of gathering. And Allah says, I own mine. Nobody else gets to tell me when. Ila rabbika muntahaha. Innama anta munziru man yakhshaha. You are just there to warn anybody who is going to be somewhat afraid of it. Now my favorite, the last ayah, ka'annahum yawma yarawnaha. Those people, as though when they see it on that day, lam yalbathu illa ashiyatan aw duhaha. They will think they didn't remain except a night and its own morning. That night and that morning. Where did this entire surah begin? With a raid. When does the raid happen? Between the night and the morning. And you know, if you were experiencing that raid and you were terrified and you were like, my life is over, even if you survived it, all you would ever remember about your life is that night. And judgment day will come and that raid of the angels will come. And people will be pulled out of their, you know, like people are sleeping in a tent and they always say, oh, what's happening? What's happening? People are going to be sleeping in their graves. And what's happening? What's happening? Looters come into the tent and pull you out. And angels are going to come into the grave and yank people out. You know, this is what's going to be happening. And when that happens, they're not going to remember anything else about their life but what? That night. That's all they'll remember. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. How all, both of those images are just kind of fused back together by the time you get to the end of the surah. It's amazing. It's just absolutely mind-blowing how Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks. The problem is you can't capture the majority of what I just said if you just read what? If you just read translation. You just can't. And I told you there's a tipping point in the surah when he says, أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ Al-A'la. You know, Professor Neil Robinson, when he was doing his study of the analysis of the surah, who's now, Professor Neil is now Muslim, mashallah, great scholar of the Quran, really just incredible scholar. He was an Orientalist who became Muslim. And he, you know, what he discovered when he talked about Rabbukum al-A'la being the central ayah of the surah, where everything shifts about Allah to the second half? Same number of syllables from beginning of the surah to Ana Rabbukumul A'la, and the same number of syllables from there to the end. Not words, syllables. Syllables. Perfectly centered. Ana Rabbukumul A'la. Subhanallah. That's the message that is actually being taught. Don't be like Fir'aun. The arrogance of Quraysh is like the arrogance of Fir'aun. Don't just think you have to have those castles and that power to be that arrogant. You could have nothing and be like Fir'aun. You can be like that, subhanAllah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us a correct understanding and a better and better appreciation of His perfect word. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thanks for watching, guys. I hope you benefited. I'd like to encourage you to actually embark on a comprehensive journey into the Quran. I've done a video translation and explanation of the entire Quran. It's called Quran Cover to Cover. I'd like you to check it on Bayina TV. Just do a little bit of it every day, and before you know it, you'll have gone through the entire Quran in translation with me. Hope you can take part. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.